Welcome to the Consciousness Revolution Show with myself, Haroon Rabbani. Now, I'd like to give a very special welcome to our brand new subscribers and listeners this week from all over the world, actually. We've had subscribers from Australia, Europe, New Zealand, Canada, USA, and of course the UK. Now, we've got such a treat for you guys over the next week, so make sure you check our homepage to see what shows are on. There are some profound interviews being taken place. Make sure you tune in to the live shows to hear some of the most amazing wisdom and experiences shared by world-class experts in personal evolution and, spiritual evolution. Now, before I start the show, I want to give a quick plug for a forthcoming live webinar. I'm talking about the live Lightworker Magic Live webinar, which is taking place on the 18th of April, which is a Thursday. There's two time slots. And if you're a holistic professional who is looking to reach many more people than you currently are across the world, then you're going to love this. I'm sharing seven very powerful strategies for you to make a massive difference to many people's lives and to do it in a way that is profitable to you. So I'm going to bring in all my 25, 30 years experience in business and share with you things that work and actually some of the things that don't work. Now, this is a live-only event, which means there will not be a replay available. We're also charging for the event. So click on the banner at the link at the top of this page afterwards or open it in a new tab to find out more. Now, the program fee is £35. However, as it is Untangled FM's first birthday, you're going to get it as a gift. In other words, completely free of charge. So type in the words together, birthday gift, no separation between the word, birthday gift, on the promotional code box, which is going to be available when you get to the registration page, and then you're in. Now, back to today's show. At the beginning of the year, I got to meet somebody who I was connected with through my Consciousness Revolution Club for, maybe a year, 2 years. Anyway, I met him at the beginning of the year, and he just totally and utterly blew me away. Now, for those of you who are regular listeners, you probably know that I've got this thing about, regardless of what information and what science there is regarding spiritual evolution and regarding our expanding our consciousness, I want to know practical solutions. And this is what our guest has got. And he shared it with me. And like I said, what can I say? I could say nothing but, yes, you got to come onto my show. So he is the author of Your Soul Contract Decoded, which is a brand new book, which I know is going to be a bestseller. So without further ado, let's get him on the show. Welcome to the Consciousness Revolution Show, Nicholas. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me on the show, Haroon.
You're most welcome.
Looking forward to this.
Brilliant. Nicholas, the work you've done, I mean, I met you when I met you. I was surprised how many people are aware, and I think it's almost like you're a best-kept secret. We really want to get you out there. Now, before we talk about the book, can you share with our listeners, what were you doing prior to preparing this book? What kind of field you were working in?
Prior to becoming an alternative therapist and spiritual teacher, I used to work in corporate finance in the city, in sort of the high-tech area, forming global joint ventures for the marketing of mobile satellite communication services, like handheld satellite phones and, you know, the internet you can get at your seat in the plane. I used to do those sort of systems.
Brilliant.
Then I, after about 7 years of doing that, I felt one day I woke up on holiday in Spain and felt I can't do this anymore. And so my soul was calling to me, I'd realized, and I knew I had to do something else. And I'd been training as an alternative therapist sort of part-time for a long time and been running a weekend practice in London in the 90s. And then I decided to turn that into my real mission here, my real purpose. And that's how I got into this. I left that job I turned it into a part-time job. And then I started doing this work with soul contract reading work, giving readings in London. That's how I sort of started off, really.
And you said you do alternative therapy. I mean, can you share what kind of therapies are you referring to?
Well, at the Center for Conscious Ascension, which I run, we do three main therapies. And the purpose of the center is to help people embody higher consciousness, more of their spirit, a part of us not embodied, and to help them get clear enough through the human ego personality expression to express that purpose in the world. That's broadly why we're here. And the first tool is the soul contract reading work, and that's where we can take someone's birth certificate name and then we match it up phonetically with the sounds of ancient Hebrew. We use 22 different sounds. And in Hebrew, numbers and letters have the same sound and same symbol. So by taking those Hebrew sounds, we can then extract the equivalent Hebrew numbers. And we use 22 different numbers there. And each has a specific meaning when we match up to the name. And when we decode that name, when we actually take those numbers and arrange them on a Star of David, which everyone's familiar with, we get six different aspects of life. And from the six different aspects, we can actually work out the spiritual map of someone's life. And we actually use that to actually work out what are someone's primary karmic patterns that they're here to face, what are their challenges that the soul's put in place, what are their talents to overcome that karma or those challenges, and what goals they have to achieve in life. And this is both in the physical and the spiritual aspects of life. And then we can also, from those six aspects, we can work out what's the soul destiny or life purpose. What is your life purpose? Why are you really here? This is the big question that we all ask when we're incarnate here on Earth. And so I use that map to actually work out where someone's going and how aligned are they to the truth of their soul that wants to express through them. And then the other tool we use is to a thing called Divine Healing Master Key, which is a healing tool based upon ask and you shall receive. And we use that in conjunction with the soul contract reading to actually help people clear their karmic issues so they can actually get on with their purpose and overcome their karma. And the third tool we use is something called light body integration. And that's a process of clearing the energetic programs, beings and structures that create the illusion that we're separate from spirit, that we're small human beings in these bodies and that we're all separate from each other. But actually, we're actually all really just one great soul. All that is the creator experiencing itself in lots of myriad different ways. And so we use the light body integration to embody higher consciousness so it can express and manifest through us, because that's the true source of manifestation. So all three tools are designed to help individuals embody and express, yeah, their real purpose and bring it out to the world.
So you mentioned, I mean, the title of your book specifically is Your Soul Contract Decoded. Now, what is a soul contract? I mean, it sounds like some kind of business agreement.
Well, it's sort of a spiritual agreement, really. Prior to incarnating, using the concept that we have, we incarnate many times here on Earth, we have past lives, the soul, which is pure consciousness, we're all pure consciousness, it, on the higher dimensions, it basically examines all its previous lifetimes, and it looks at the key themes that it pursues. Usually there's at least three or four major themes that it will pursue over many lifetimes. Then it works out, well, what do I want to experience this time when I embody? And so it will design a lifetime to explore themes in a very specific way. It'll choose the parents, it'll choose the time zone, the culture, it'll choose what sort of ancestral DNA it wants to work with. It'll choose the core relationships it wants to have with people in the world, friends, and who will be their family this time. And that's all encompassed in the name it chooses, because sound is creative. Like in the beginning, as they say in the Bible, there was the Word, and the Word was the sound of God. It was like an Om, really. And so what the soul does is it chooses a name which in the pure vibration of that name, is embodied And at the time of conception, it's basically communicating to the mother and father what it would like to be called. And for those parents out there, you know, there's only like two or three names which you can call your children. It's because the soul's actually telling you what it would like to be called. And most of the time, we as parents get that right.
Oh, wow.
And what happens there is that when that name is registered and agreed by intention at the time of birth by the parents, that contract activates, and that sort of sits in our DNA, in our physical body, and in our energy field. And it's actually radiating out to the reality, and the reality is rearranging around that. It's a fluid. It's a fluid reality. For those of you who've seen The Matrix, it's very close to what's going on, except there aren't any machines. But this is actually the program by the law of attraction that creates a reality in each moment. So it's the contract that the soul activates to create us as human, individuated ego, personality expressions, so that the soul can experience life in a very specific way. Yeah, it is actually a contract. It's I used to call it a binding spiritual contract for this lifetime to create us as unique personalities. And each lifetime, the soul will create a different sort of contract to explore existence, explore this sort of human experience in different ways.
So, in terms of this contractual agreement, what if somebody doesn't want to follow that agreement? Or is there no choice in it?
Well, there is a choice. There is, I'll call it in quotes, free will choice. The soul creates us as a personality expression. And once it's created us and set us in motion, it cannot interfere anymore with what happens. It's up to us at a conscious level to engage with that contract, our soul contract. And we can either choose to engage with it and embrace the challenges and lessons and all the different components of it, or we can choose not to. And so what happens here on Earth is that we've all come here to experience life in very specific ways, and you know, we all ask, well, why do we come here? It's very challenging at times, very intense. And so what's actually happening is that the soul has designed a very specific lifetime, so it wants to re-experience itself, because we're all part of the Creator ultimately. We're all just small parts of the Creator that decided to disconnect in consciousness from the creative energy, from all that is, and to come into a reality, the earth plane, where we initially forget who we are, and then through the experience of life, we recreate ourselves. It's through the experience of life is basically us as parts of the Creator, knowing ourselves better. For example, someone might come in to experiment with knowing itself as power, okay, the power of spirit again. So it'll create a contract where there's lots of disempowering experiences in its, say, family life or at work. And the whole purpose of that sort of karmic pattern, is not to defeat us, not to feel that our boss has been tough on us or our mum's been really hard and that, you know, we're like a victim of this. It's about engaging with that karmic pattern and then transmuting that.
Okay, so let's you know, use an example here then. Say, for example, I don't know, somebody's worked hard all their life to achieve something and they keep getting knockbacks because of the people around them, because of whatever situation, and they fall into a state of depression, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, how can they use the knowledge you're offering to be able to transmute that so that they can be more uplifted and rather than fall into a depression?
Yeah, the depression is created by a blockage in the flow of the spiritual energy somehow. So we would look at, it's probably a karmic pattern, a challenge for that person. We would look at, okay, what's actually particularly blocked there? It could be, for example, the continuing what I was just saying before, where someone could have a blockage in power and they seem unable to claim their power back. So, and that can lead to depression. So the way to address that is to see, well, what specifically in their soul contract is creating a disempowerment? And then we'd look at, well, where are they? How far have they got through this issue of disempowerment? Are they able to sort of, for example, hold their boundary at work with the boss or with their partner who may be rearranging around the program of being disempowered? Can they draw a clear line? Can they overcome, I might be bullying at work or something like that, or can they resolve their issue with their parents, which created disempowerment? And it's about emotionally engaging and bringing consciousness to the often the childhood wounds that we have around a particular issue that created the blocked energy, that created the depression. And through self-healing processes, that may be going through workshops, might be body work, it may be all sorts of things which we talk about in the book to address specific patterns. And as you start to unlock the blocked energy, and then as that individual starts to claim their power, then the depression will lift. The energy starts to flow.
Excellent.
And then they're going from the journey of being disempowered and depressed to starting to claim their power layer by layer. It's like a karmic pattern, it's like an onion, an emotional onion. You peel it layer by layer, and gradually, as you peel it, you start to feel, okay, I'm claiming a bit more power now. I feel a bit better today, a little bit happier. And if they keep going with these sort of recommendations, then after a while, they start to claim their power fully. And so they've gone from the journey of being disempowered, which is what we call the negative context this all creates, to becoming fully empowered. It might take quite a few years. It might take a whole lifetime. But the soul wants that deep, visceral, emotional experience of going from one polarity to another. And that's actually why it came to Earth. It came through to transmute these patterns. So then it will know at a deeper level what it is to be empowered. And in this case, happier as a result.
Wow. Okay, brilliant. And so just for those who may have just caught the back end of this, I mean, what is the significance of, or what are the consequences of being unaware of one's soul contract?
Well, I want to talk about a concept called following the spiritual signature. When we're embodied, when our soul embodies physically, it creates us as a ego, unique ego personality expression, a filter for it to experience the world with. That we at an ego personality level have a choice to either follow the flow of our soul or not. And when we follow the flow of our soul, or follow the spiritual signature, we call it, life flows and opens in each moment. And you can tell that if you've done enough emotional clearing. The way you can tell that is because through the physical sensation in the body, you know, the emotional guidance system. What happens is if you're following the flow of spirit, your heart will open in each moment, each time you take the right step or right action that's with the flow of your spirit. And the way you can decide what to do there is to try on a potential action. If your heart opens and you feel positive emotion, then that's the flow of your spirit, and then life will open. If you just choose not to, the heart will close, and that's when we're going against or going diverging away from the flow of the spiritual signature. And when we do that, that's when life gets hard. And because the ego doesn't want to feel the pain of the karmic patterns, it will do its very best not to follow the flow of spirit because it wants to avoid any pain. But that's what actually creates suffering. And that's what happens to a lot of people on Earth because they're not aware of what their soul contract is, and they may be lost in the unconsciousness of all the ego programs.
Wow. You're listening to the Consciousness Revolution Show with myself, Harun Rabbani, and my guest, Nicholas David. And now you got to tell me how to pronounce it. Is it
Nan? Nan, silent G.
Nan. Okay, cool. Thank you. So if you're listening to the live show, and hopefully you are, then there's a little section, little box underneath the description of the show, and in that box then you can type in your question for Nicholas and I will put it to him. So type in your question. Believe it or not, time's going to just absolutely fly by, and it already has, and we've just barely got started. Okay, so your particular system, Nicholas, how have you developed such a system to decode something so spiritual, so intangible?
Well, we'll go back to the beginning of how it works. All right. A man called Stan Tenen, who's a Hebrew scholar in the States, they actually worked out through using the geometries of what's called the flower of life, which some listeners may have heard of, what was the movement of great spirit or the creator and the creation of creation? So I've actually worked out the geometrical movements of this. And by analyzing those movements, we actually get sacred languages coming out of them, like Hebrew, which the system is based upon, Sanskrit, and Tibetan. And so the sounds and movement of great spirit and the creation of creation produce the sacred languages. It's not some old guy in the desert decided that Hebrew would look a certain way, or someone in India decided Sanskrit would look a certain way. So actually, the geometries come out of the actual movement of spirit. That's how it started. And so those ancient languages are carrying the sound of great spirit, or sound of God, really, within them. And so, in ancient times, rabbis used to use the system to adjust people's names. I think they still do it today as well. And so this system was sort of lost to the West up until about the 80s. And my teacher, Frank Upper, who channeled the system through in the States in the late 80s, he was driving in the car one day and just came to him from the spirit that numbers and letters in Hebrew have the same sound. And then what followed was 9 months of channeling from the soul of Moses. Okay, this used to be called the spiritual numerology of Moses, in its original form, on what the meaning was of the 22 ancient Hebrew letters that are associated with the system. And so he developed this whole system, or revived this whole system, ancient system, based on that premise. And in 1990, I had a really profound reading with him when I went to one of his workshops for about a week. I was really drawn to go to it. The Carousel of Growth. And he explained my whole life just by, he said, well, what's your name? He wrote it all down in the Star of David, and he analyzed all the numbers, and he explained my entire life, he explained why I was here in terms of learning to overcome shyness, which was my physical karmic pattern, in order to learn how to communicate and to teach. So I came in with the opposite of what I'm doing now. I was very shy, not very communicative, not very emotionally grounded or present, so I could learn to become present. Lots of disempowerment programmed in, so I could learn to come into my power. And I was going to learn how to trust in the flow of life to do this work. And so he explained everything, and that sort of changed my life completely. And then I decided after that reading that I have to learn how to do this. I have to learn how to tell other people about this and share this. So this is why I brought it to England. And I just started doing these readings, basically. So basically, what happens is that when we're born, we start off with what we call the physical karmic pattern on the Star of David, the first pattern. And that pattern is basically, what do we have to work with in the outer physical world? What negative context do we have to overcome to bring out the gift from the karma? My gift was to learn how to communicate clearly and be worthy to show myself to the world and to teach. And it culminated in writing a book. I could barely pass English exams at high school. That's how bad it was in terms of communication for me. And then my talent, what we call a latent talent that came up to help me overcome that, was to learn to express in a grounded way in society. And that would help overcome that physical karma. And then my goal, physical goal, was to learn to ground here, be present, because I wasn't very present at all when I first started off this work, and to be very present and to connect with people and reach out to people with my work. And in the spiritual side, my spiritual karmic pattern was to learn to overcome disempowerment and distrust and resistance to spirit, to learn to surrender to the flow of spirit, the flow of the spiritual signature, as we were talking about earlier, and to learn to trust that implicitly in each moment, my own gut feel, not ask everyone else what I should do, but just trust what felt right and go with that and gradually claim my power in my life, and then use that power to, and the gift of claiming my power was to help others come into their power in my private practice and in my workshops. And then the spiritual talent I had was to connect to it's called connecting to all that is source, is to bring through the multidimensional knowledge of the soul to share in a myriad of different ways to help people grow and awaken. And then Then the spiritual goals was to learn to totally trust in the flow of knowledge and ideas that come to me and to duplicate them and share them. And that's what's come with the book, because the book basically gives us a structure for doing just what I've just said just now, is to actually analyze your name, generate all the numbers for the soul contract using the Star of David, and then most importantly, how to understand them. What do they actually mean in all the aspects? So it's a do-it-yourself way of working out, well, what is the spiritual map of my life? Okay, and it will explain why everything happens the way it happens. And then it shows you, okay, to work out, well, where actually am I on this map? How far have I got through it? And most importantly, what do I do about it? What do I do about this pattern of disempowerment or lack of trust in my case? How do I ground? How do I manifest my, we call it soul destiny or life purpose? So it's basically a manual for raising consciousness. For raising consciousness, becoming conscious of all of what's really going on and seeing, well, how do I follow my spirit? What's the easiest way forward? There's always going to be challenges, but if we're aligned with where our spirit wants to go, which shows is shown in the soul contract, it cuts out a lot of things which are distractions, and we get down to what's important in life.
It's absolutely fine. There's so many questions off the back of that. In terms of, first of all, the work that you do, I mean, it resonates with me, but also this particular show is also about looking at the more evidential side of things. Is there any scientific evidence or any kind of evidence to show that this process is a, you know, respected, validated process that people can say, yep, this works?
I think it comes down to, they can actually show how the movement of Great Spirit works. That's actually scientifically worked out. There's different papers on the web and actually geometrically how the Hebrew scholars have worked this thing out. So that can be shown quite clearly how that happens. And I think it really comes down to people having a direct experience of it, of how true it is for each one. For example, we did your reading, Harun.
Yes.
And how was that for you to hear that? We'd only just met.
Yes.
You know, we had dinner. We talked about the reading. What was that experience like? And I didn't know anything about you prior to us meeting.
No, well, I mean, it was fascinating because you had very little knowledge except from social media. And what was amazing was that what you were saying was in line with what I already knew, because I'm very, I'm a very mystical background. So I know what my purpose here is. And when you said what you said, I thought, okay, not that I wanted validation or needed, I wanted to hear to what extent you were connecting with what I already knew. And spot on, 100% spot on. So, I mean, in that sense, it's valuable piece of information, it's validated information. But let me put it another way, has there been any testing done? Are you going to get it, some kind of research paper done to show that this is something that's acceptable by left-brain community, scientific community? Or is that...
I really haven't thought about it in any depth like that. The only thing that I think the real proof with any spiritual system is that does it resonate in what it delivers in these sort of divination systems? Does it actually resonate? And yes, you can actually examine the creation of the Hebrew, how that works. That's all being documented, how that works. Whether we fully bridge into where science and spirituality meet, I couldn't actually say where that point is now, because scientists are discovering with in terms of their exploration of subatomic particles, actually their, you know, spirituality and science are meeting there, because they're actually basically looking at the face of God really in there. So this is another thing where you're actually seeing the sounds of God, you're hearing the sounds of God. Okay, so it's more about, is science ready to hear the truth? It's
yes.
More the other way around. Because science has only been around about 300 years in its current form. And science is focused on the mind. Whereas spirituality is something, spiritual consciousness, where all these different systems come from, is a much vaster level of consciousness. And so I'd say it's more about, is science ready to hear about the system and lots of other systems which are coming in to raise consciousness?
See, the reason I say this is I know, obviously, there's a lot of people who are converted who understand the importance of their soul purpose, and our listeners will be, many of them will be resonating with what you say. And there are also people who have big influence, like big business leaders, political leaders, and these kind of people, particularly, let's focus on the business leaders, because I haven't got too much to say about politics. And these guys do make a difference in someone's, people's lives, but what I've found is a lot of them are very much, at least publicly, left-brained and providing information which can be scientifically validated or researched to show that, you know, you've worked with, I don't know, X hundreds of people and these are the before results, these are the during and these are the after. It'd be very useful. But anyway, that's a different conversation that we can have.
Yeah, well, that can be undertaken. I think it's, I do business consulting, and once someone hears their, a left-brain businessman who's sort of open a bit to this work, hears their reading, they're usually totally convinced, because those sort of people are very pragmatic, and if it works, they're interested. I think spirit is going into business, and which is more left-brain, to actually bring alignment in the end. Spiritual intelligence is recognized as a major growth area in the corporate sector. Moving beyond standard business processes, refined business processes. So we could do a study on people who have, to answer your question, who where they were before having a soul contract reading. You could look at them maybe a year before, look at the point just before the reading, and then look at them a year after to see, well, how much has your life changed? Has the quality of your life improved? Are you happier? Are you more empowered? Or whatever issues, are you more fulfilled? You could actually measure that, I'd say.
Yes, absolutely.
I think you can do that sort of thing.
Yeah, this is absolutely phenomenal. Now, we've got listeners' questions coming in, and I'm going to just take one for the time being, and we'll, in a moment. One of the questions is, you mentioned about the system, about, you know, your physical karmic patterns and so on, and are we all born with some kind of gift, spiritual gift, and also a challenge to use that gift upon? So in other words, are we getting gifts and are we getting challenges at the same time to deal with them?
Usually they're the one and the same thing.
Oh, really?
The soul, see, with the law of attraction, there's another law which goes with it, which they don't talk so much about, which is called the law of opposites.
Yes.
Okay, when you are here to bring a certain gift to the earth, you will come in with the opposite of that gift initially in the karma. In the karmic pattern, physical or spiritual karma. And so, if someone, for example, was to really learn to speak great truth in the world, okay, they will come in with a karmic pattern. In this case, we call it a five energy, by just a label or a Hebrew number called of five. And this is not related to conventional numerology at all. And they will have great difficulty expressing truth because there will be a fear of doing that programmed into their ego, but it's usually a past life issue. But as they overcome that, once if they acknowledge that that's what the issue is and they overcome that fear, then they will go from the journey of being fearful of expressing that great truth to being empowered to express that truth. Then they will value that gift of transmuting their karmic pattern of fear of speaking the truth to really getting out in the world and stepping out there, because they've earned it, they've had to work for that. So it's going to be at the top of their mind, okay, I have overcome this, so there's a reason for this, so they'll be very strong in the actual expression of that in the world. So our greatest gifts lie in our karma, basically.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. You know, sometimes I get this thing that, yep, it's great, but sometimes I go, oh my goodness, because I know part of my gift is to share the nature of unconditional love by understanding the importance of forgiveness, compassion and surrender. And since I had my mystical experience with those particular areas, I've had to go through aspects where I've had to totally surrender to the divine, had to practice forgiveness, otherwise I would have exploded, had to practice compassion. And it seems like the more one learns and one experiences it, the more the heavier the experiences are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, the greater the gift you have to deliver to the world, the greater the karmic pattern challenge initially.
Right.
Because your soul has to be sure that you'll use that gift properly before it lets you fully transmute that.
Right, okay.
So the karmic pattern is not punishment, even though it may feel like that.
Oh, it does sound like that.
It's only there to be transmuted. That's the only reason. But the hazard with this earthly existence is that our egos are programmed to suffer, because the ego construct is a product of feeling separate from higher consciousness, from all that is. So it's important not to fall into the trap of allowing the ego to drive our lives, where it will continually focus on what's not working in our karmic patterns, but to get a sense. That's what we do with this work, is say, okay, well, what's the point of having that karmic pattern? Well, the gift is, for example, empowerment. It could be trusting the flow. It could be to ground and connect. And when we shift our focus, the ego's focus, it's like sort of putting your gazing at your navel all the time. That's a good analogy. It's about pulling back from gazing at the navel of all the things which aren't working, which is what the ego will naturally do. Just stepping back, okay, well, I can see from this reading why I'm here, so let's focus on what I do want to create out of this karmic pattern, the good stuff. And what happens then is that you start to starve the ego of the negative emotion, the negative focus, so you start to starve the program. When you do that, the program starts to break down. And then you can focus through manifestation techniques on getting what you do want. And so actually what happens is that you cut down your effort by quite a lot by not focusing on what doesn't work. But that's a sort of default position with the way the human ego works. It's quite a tricky one to work with.
Brilliant, brilliant. If you're joining in very late on the show, you're listening to the Consciousness Revolution show on Untangled FM. My name is Harun Rabbani. I'm your host, and I have Nicholas David Nan, I pronounced it correctly this time.
Got that time, yeah.
We're talking about decoding your soul contract. The book is also by that name and is absolutely phenomenal. You can find out more about that by going onto Nicholas's website, which is, Nicholas?
Center with an ER, or consciousascension.net. But you can find the book more easily just by typing in yoursoulcontractdecoded.com. That will take you to the web portal for the book. That talks all about the book there.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned earlier on about, you know, a person's birth name. Now, why does a person's birth name play such an important role in understanding the soul contract? Because it's almost like, for me anyway, it's like, okay, that's one name, and they're born with that name. They may have changed their name. There's so many other facets of somebody's life. How can you say that, well, is it that important?
Well, the name works when the soul designs the lifetime. It actually programs into a substance called karmic matrix, which is a grey cobweb energy that's in our high energy bodies, in our fields. It programs the contract into that. And this material, this energy called karmic matrix, actually radiates out to the reality to create our life in each moment. And the soul will trigger different parts of that. So even though there are six aspects, as we described earlier in the soul contract, of physical karma, talents and goals, and then spiritual karma, talents and goals, and then a seventh called the soul destiny, the soul in any given moment will be activating different parts of your contract that it wants to work on. For example, it might work on for a few weeks or months unworthiness, or it might work on learning how to come into integrity. And so you can think of this core contract sitting in your energy system is like the cake of your life, and it's based on your birth certificate name. And if you don't have a birth certificate, it's based on the primary intention the parents set when they named you. It's like the cake of your life, which is who you are and always will be. And when you have a different name, like, you know, most people don't use their middle name, or they get married and change their name, or they use a shortened name. You can think of other names that we as individuals use as like different layers of icing on the cake, which have a different flavor, and they infuse different qualities into the primary primary cake to help it change and grow. Well, that may hinder us depending on what the relative consciousness and frequency of the numbers are. And we're also affected by those close to us, like friends and family and people at work. They have their layers of icing which they transmit to us onto our cake, and that affects us in different ways. That's why we get on really well with some people, because it means the energies are working really well, the numbers, the number frequencies are flowing really well. And other people, we have clashes because the actual numbers aren't compatible. We're literally energetically rubbing each other up the wrong way. And so, but everything revolves around the core birth certificate name, which is creating the primary creative energy which we're sending out to the reality in each moment.
So we've got a question from one of our listeners from Berlin who's asking, is it bad to use another name for social networks or for any kind of like work, like say if you're an artist, for example, I don't know, could be an author, could be a musician, is it okay or is it a bad thing to use a different name than your original name?
Usually it's not a wise idea to use your birth certificate name, unless it's really what we call optimized, unless it's really going to help you work through your stuff, your emotional issues. We call them overlay names, these other names. And so what you need to look at is that flavor of overlay name icing going into the birth certificate name, is it helping me? Is it enhancing my life in different ways? Or is it actually hindering me? And so you look at all seven aspects of the overlay name infusing into the seven aspects of the birth name, and only then can we tell if that, for example, an artist's name or a social media name is helping us. And so from that, we can see, well, was it teaching us? It's going to take us through different themes, different names we use. And so what we do is that we actually, when that question's asked, we look at, is the name optimal? Is it enhancing? Is it helping? And by that, I mean, is it helping overcome the karmic patterns, achieving the goals, enhancing the talents, and helping someone move towards their soul destiny or life purpose? And if it's not, then that name needs to be adjusted a bit by looking at, well, where does that individual wish to go? And then we can play with that name and do some name surgery, really. It could be just it could be changing a few letters in it. It could be putting a middle name in. And then we're trying to infuse the right frequencies. It's a whole art form. It's sort of, that'll be the next book, and that sort of material.
Brilliant. And so if somebody wanted to, as you said, do a bit of surgery with their name or play with their name, how do they go about doing that?
That really requires an experienced soul contract reading practitioner who's been trained in what we call name optimization to actually look at that. That process really focuses on, well, where does that individual wish to go in their life? What are their goals for their life? And then it's about meditating on those goals, and then it's about allowing high consciousness spirit to come through with some name ideas, because certain names resonate with us. It's about, they'll come to us in meditation, or we may just see them on the back of a newspaper when we're on the train. And then it's about meditating on what feels right, what opens the heart, and then taking all those, the constellation of names that may come up, and then trying them out in different combinations to see, will it produce the right icing, the right overlay frequencies are going to help that person overcome the challenges they face in life. Most people's names aren't optimized. Some are, but most aren't. And often it can be just the common name we use, which is actually holding us up in life.
So what if somebody retains their birth certificate name, the name they were given at birth, or part of it, like say the first name is original, but the second name they change because the name's Smith or something, and they want something a bit more exciting. I mean, does that make much of a difference?
Yeah, it all makes a difference, but each name has to be analyzed in itself to see actually what it's doing. Okay, sometimes we don't use our full name because we don't like our contract. We instinctively know it doesn't feel right, and sometimes our spirit tells us, we can feel it, we should just actually change the spelling a little bit or use a different middle name just to get away from the core patterns. And that new name may work, it may not, but each one has to be analyzed in itself on a Star of David to see, well, what frequencies is it actually producing. So it's more like the entire string of sounds from beginning to end is what matters. And even if it could just be losing one sound in the original name, could completely change the frequencies that come out of it.
One of the questions actually very similar to the question I've got to ask. Actually, is an even better question than I was going to ask. Tim asks from London. There are 22 Hebrew sounds and 22 letters in the English language. How is
26 in English.
Yeah, 26 in English and 22 Hebrew sounds. How is this difference, he says, remediated when working with your system? In other words, how do you, you know...
In Hebrew, there's quite a range of torrents and sounds. For example, V, O, U, and W are all one sound in Hebrew, which is a sixth sound, which is used. So basically, some of the Hebrew letters duplicate for multiple sounds in English. Like K and Q are one and the same sound in Hebrew. So that's a kof. Okay. The sixth sound is a vuv.
Yeah.
So that's how we actually cover all 26 English sounds with 22 Hebrew sounds.
Right. Okay. There you go. Straightforward. And I thought it was going to be a lot more complex than that. Now, you mentioned earlier on about somebody's soul destiny and life purpose. Is there a difference, and what specifically do you mean by that?
The soul destiny is actually calculated from the six aspects we talked about earlier: the physical karma, talents, and goals, and the spiritual karma, talents, and goals. It's a product of having worked through all those six aspects. Very few people actually manage to do it all. I think more so in the past, but nowadays there's a big spiritual awakening since the end of 2012, and spiritual seekers are really wanting to get on with their purpose. They're researching for, well, why am I really here? Can I really get on with it? And so as we work through all the ego programming that's created through the law of opposites in our soul contract, we get closer to that soul destiny. And that actually, or life purpose, and soul destiny is a bit beyond just life purpose. It's not to do with the third dimensional world. It's beyond just that. It's actually the whole reason for being here and in this lifetime. And so what happens is that as we get clearer emotionally, what happens is that we hit what I call a point of soul integration. When your ego is clear enough, okay, and then the soul consciousness can start to come through you, and as you start to follow the spiritual signature, the flow of heart opening more and more each moment, what happens is that the ego starts to dissolve much more. And as that happens, when we have a feeling and thought, the soul is having the same feeling and thought, and that's when we're starting to align. And as that starts to happen and we get more stable and we're flowing with our spirit, then our soul starts to reveal to us more of that life or soul purpose. That's why the answer is always not clear when we start on the spiritual journey, because we wouldn't be ready to hear that. And if someone told me I was going to write a book like I have, say, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have believed that was possible, barely being able to pass English exams at school. And so it's about being in each moment on our journey of spiritual awakening for spiritual seekers. And as we open up, then spirit will actually, that's the part of us not embodied, the soul is part which is embodied, our spirit will then present to us the next stage of our mission, our purpose. So it's about getting clearer and following the map, which the soul contract lays out in this particular model. And then as we do that, more and more will be revealed. And after a while, we realize we've gone a long way. We look back thinking, my God, after 10 years, I'm in a completely different place. I'm a different person. And what has been revealed to me, I can cope with just because I was ready. I was clear enough emotionally, and I'm ready to keep stepping forward to the next level. I hope that sort of answers that question.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the word karma again. I mean, you know, a lot of people may be aware of it, but can you give more clarity about what role karma plays in shaping our lives?
Well, karma only really exists when you're actually embodied. It's based on the law of cause and effect. For example, if the soul was experimenting, playing, exploring about the use of power in life, it might have had, for example, 3 or 4 lifetimes in the past where it was some Mongol raider or some barbarian in Roman times, something like that, misusing power. and battle. Okay, so it's meant about the misuse of power. And so that's stored on what we call the Akashic Records, which is the like the sort of universal cosmic memory for the Creator. So it basically remembers everything through the Akashic Records in the higher dimensions. And so that comes around to it's time to reincarnate again, and we're going to incarnate in England in the 70s. And we have this whole theme of exploring disempowerment and misuse of power and empowerment going back thousands of years. The soul may bring in, okay, I want to sort of bring this all together this time, and I'm going to create a disempowering experience with my family. And this time it's going to be very intense, but this time I want to break through it if I can. So the cause in the past might be the misuse of power. And it's going to come in as a perpetrator of the misuse of that power. So it's going to bring in that stream of past life energy. Those past life energy feeds will come into the energy system of that person. And then it will create that disempowering experience initially. And if they become conscious enough and work out what's going on, so they say they had the soul contract, then and found the tools, which are in the book, for example, then they could actually recognize what's actually going on. And then the effect of it is of the initial cause of being a perpetrator of disempowerment of others comes into being on the receiving end of it this lifetime. And if they actually get that experience, that lesson, if you want to call it that, and then transmute the disempowering patterning, then they would have healed or cleared that karmic pattern, that original cause, and the whole lot sort of dissolves, really. Because and the soul's had the experience, okay, I've had both ends of the experience, from being a perpetrator of disempowerment to being, like, quote, the victim, if you want to call it that, and I've cleaned up both ends of it, and so it's got the lesson that it came for.
Brilliant. Of course, I mean, if someone doesn't, Abrahamic religions, if they totally do not believe in the whole concept of karma, then maybe it's a difficult one to grasp, right?
Well, it's just a model. You know, everything that's shared here is just a model, and it's a matter of, well, does that fit in with someone's belief system? And we all have different systems depending on what our background is and what our soul wants to experience. But
right.
I just share it as a model, that's all, in this case.
So, in terms of getting a soul contract reading, we've only got 4 more minutes left. And in terms of getting a soul contract reading, how does someone go about doing that?
They can go onto the website, center with an ER for conscious ascension .net. It's on your website, on where people are listening to the broadcast. Just go to that website and then click on soul contract reading. And then click on personal, and that explains all about how to do readings, how to receive a reading. And then there are a couple of other things which might be of interest. The book is designed as a do-it-yourself way of finding out, well, what the soul contract is. And the reading, a full reading from an experienced practitioner, is going to take you a lot deeper, because it'll make all the intuitive connections on where someone actually is on their map. But the book is a good place to start. And then there's also trainings on how to actually deliver these readings for people who are really keen on this material, get inspired by it. So that's sort of the levels of information we offer with this work. And then there's one other thing. We have a workshop called Manifest Your Soul Contract, which is found by clicking on workshops and then Manifest Your Soul Contract. And that's for people, once you've understood what your contract is, it's about having an experiential weekend space where you can explore the specific frequencies in your contract, and then with different ways they'll be transmitted to you in lots of different ways through movement and sound and color, to actually feel what they are and to break through and move through the issues you face. So those are sort of the different primary ways of experiencing this work.
So the workshop, I mean, they have to do the soul contract reading first, just to clarify that, yes?
It does. Which one? The training workshop or
the
experiential one?
The experiential one, yeah.
It helps, but not necessarily, because what we do is that we do a little mini readings at the beginning of the workshop for each person, so they can understand why they're here. and they know what the numbers are they're dealing with.
Right.
But a full reading would help, but it depends on what feels right, really.
Okay. Well, I would love for you to speak, present to our listeners in London, because well, we have something called True Spiritual Gatherings, which I hold every now and again, which is all about spiritual awareness and consciousness. And I'd like to publicly invite you to, for you to come and share maybe a short presentation in a couple of months' time, but we can talk after our call here. Now, is there, if you can share your website once again before you go off. So the website for people to find out more about the book is...
YourSoulContractDecoded.com.
Okay. YourSoulContractDecoded.com. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, YourSoulContractDecoded.com takes you directly to the web portal, which is part of the main website of CenterForConsciousAscension.net.
Brilliant. Okay, so we have the link is there, by the way, if you're listening to the replay, because if you're listening now, it's probably replay time already. If you listen to the replay, which will be up within about a couple of minutes of the show finishing, if you listen to the replay, the link will be there on the Consciousness Revolution Show replay page. Click on the link and it will take you to the website as well. And if you're not listening to the replay and you're listening to it on your iPad or your iPhone or whatever, then you heard what the website is. Now, we've only got not even a minute left. Is there any final message you want our listeners to go away with, Nicholas?
I'd like to say that life is a real blessing each moment. And I've shared, I wrote this book and have been developing this tool for 20-odd years in order to make that blessing as fulfilling as possible, so that you can actually live a fulfilling life and move towards your dreams, overcome your challenges, so that you can actually get the most out of life. That's why I wrote it. And it's really a manual for raising consciousness, for ascending, really, in consciousness. That's why I wrote the book. It's a manual for life. That's essentially what it is. So if you do get it, I hope you enjoy it and it really helps you move forward.
Brilliant. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. You've been absolutely phenomenal, Nicholas. Thank you very much for coming on to the Consciousness Revolution Show. And listeners, thank you for listening in. There's lots of shows happening this week. So if you can't wait for tomorrow's show, then listen to the replays. And if you can wait, we've got Sunita on her show, and this is for young people. We're having somebody who talks about motivating people in how to become geniuses in maths, especially useful if you're a teenager and you've got exams coming up. And then we've got Sarah Ellis' show, which is all about piecing together a broken heart. And we've got so many other shows lined up. Check our homepage, check our replay pages as well, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care. Good night.